Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, BethelStratford.org.
Easter. It's an interesting weekend. A few years ago, I believe Miles was about 12 years old. And for you that know, you've probably heard me talk about it because while I love baseball, the baseball season has started for those that haven't known yet. And so if you do show up at 3 o'clock today to help set up the Stations of the Cross, you'll be by yourself because I'll be at home watching the Jays game. Just telling you what I'll be doing. But Miles plays travel baseball, and so he really wanted a baseball glove. And if you follow sports, really any sport, you can get equipment that costs $40 right up to hundreds and thousands of dollars. And so Miles wanted it was a higher-end baseball glove, and so I talked to some grandparents, and I talked to Miles about, like, hey, you know what? Let's see if some grandparents will go together, and we'll get you this gift. And then I talked to grandparents, and they were all in. And just because of my parenting skills and my parenting ability and my personality, I told Miles it wasn't happening. I believe there's moments where God is okay with what I call a surprise. It's not a lie. And so normally when we open up presents, we open them up at our house, or sometimes we'll open them up at Melissa's parents because it's just an hour drive to her house, to her parents' house. And my family, they live north of Ottawa. So if you've ever been whitewater rafting on the Ottawa River, that's where I'm from. And so we saved it because my parents were in on it. And they never got to see the kids open a present like that in person. It was always through video. And I thought, you know what? Twofold. They get to see it. And Miles gets to believe it's not happening. And so there's this moment where all of a sudden we find one present that doesn't have a name on it. And so immediately kids are like, whose is it? Whose is it? And so everybody else knows except all the kids, because at that age we're like, I don't think any of them can keep a secret. And so we're like, oh, you know what? Give it to Miles. He hasn't opened one. Let him open it. And then his little cousin starts ripping it open. So my brother's like, let Miles open it. And so Miles opens up this box, and I forgot that in the store, the guy shoved it in a Purolator bag and sealed it just so he was carrying it home. He couldn't see it. And in the box, he lifts out this little container that's called glove oil, and it's for breaking in leather gloves. And he sees this, and he looks at it, and you see his face go from, I have no idea what's in this box, to lifting out this oil. And he immediately sees it, and he just quickly looks up with this awe face. And the gift that he thought he wasn't getting, all of a sudden was in front of him. It's the first time, and I'm going to embarrass him by this, and so Miles, I apologize. It's the first time and only time, where I think I've ever seen him have to control his emotions because of excitement. That it almost, so much excitement that it almost brought tears to his eyes. And it makes me think of the disciples. The disciples have served Jesus. They've walked with him. They believe he's the Messiah. They believe he's here to set them free. And then even on Palm Sunday, there's other people who haven't walked with him, but just have heard about him and seen his ministry, and all of a sudden they believe this is the Messiah. This is the gift we've been waiting for. And then he dies. He dies on the cross. And what you have to realize is they're in shock. They don't understand. The Messiah wasn't supposed to die. The Messiah was supposed to set them free. And then all of a sudden, a few days later, right after the Sabbath, it says this in John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. See, the Sabbath was over, so she was allowed to go and do something. And so she goes to the tomb, and she's coming to put fragrance and spices so that his body doesn't smell. And all of a sudden, as she arrives at the tomb, we read in Matthew 28, verse 5, it says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" We're just going to pause here for a second. Isn't it amazing that the angel says, "He's not here, he's risen, just as he said it was going to happen"? How many of us, we know what Jesus says? We know what his word says. We know what he has told us through the Holy Spirit. And yet, just like the disciples, we either forget or we miss it. And continues in verse 7, it says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" The first evangelists were ladies. The first ones to go and share the good news were women. Jesus Christ, the resurrected life. This morning, I want to talk to you about the resurrected life and how he resurrects your life and different parts of your life. See, after Mary found out, it says in Matthew 28, verse 8, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." Afraid yet filled with joy. It brings me right back to seeing Miles' face when he opens up this gift. He wasn't afraid, but all of a sudden joy just fills him. Because what he thought wasn't going to happen, what he thought was lost, was actually delivered. And so here is Mary and Jesus Christ, as he has the resurrection life, he resurrected joy back into her heart. I think some of you here this morning, you need Jesus to come and resurrect joy in your life. When was the last time you smiled and it wasn't fake? I know we don't fake smile at church. When was the last time you laughed? And I don't mean a sympathy laugh. You do that every Sunday. See? There they are. I appreciate it. But when was the last time you laughed? I've talked with people and they say like they were out with a friend and all of a sudden they laughed. And you know the difference when you're like, oh, we had a good time. But when you talk about laughing with somebody, there's a difference. Because there's a laugh and then there's what we call a belly laugh. Some of us, like me, I just laugh a lot. But when was the last time you had the joy in your heart? Now hear me. The joy that we're talking about doesn't mean bad times don't happen. There's actually a joy that you can have in the middle of bad times. It's a joy that Jesus Christ brings. See, Psalms 51, verse 12, it says, restore to me. You're not the only ones that hear this and think, Chad, I don't remember the last time I had the joy you're talking about. That's okay. It's okay. I believe it can change for you today. Because here's David, a man after God's own heart. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. There's a joy in your salvation. There is a joy knowing where you will be when this life ends. That's why our life here is not about this life. That's why my joy can still be there in the moment of hard times, because it's not about this life. I'm but a stranger here. I'm but a stranger. I'm not supposed to feel like this is home. This is where the joy of the Lord comes. It's when your joy and your hope and your excitement returns. As you follow God and trust Him through the dark and difficult times, your faith will resurrect your joy. But for some of you, for your joy to be resurrected, you need resurrected faith. You need resurrected faith this morning. And many of us struggle in this area. We believe, but we find it hard to believe. We know it's in the Word, but it's so hard. Makes me think of the Father in the Scriptures that says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Do you know that's a prayer you're allowed to say? Do you know it doesn't insult God? God, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. A resurrected faith. John 20, verse 25. The disciples, they're talking to Thomas. And they told him, we have seen the Lord. At this moment, it's not even that they have it. They've heard that he's resurrected. They've seen him. But he replied, Thomas replies, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Believe. Things are going to piece together in a way that you didn't imagine, that you don't understand, that you could not and maybe will never comprehend. But he says, believe. This year, we still believe that Jesus wants to do a new thing in your life. And even if you can't see it, he wants to. He wants to make your faith strong. He wants to bring joy to your heart. He wants to lift you up. He doesn't want this year to finish the way last year did. He wants to pick you up and put your feet on solid ground. He wants to resurrect your joy and your faith. Because I also believe that for many of you, all of you, he wants to resurrect your purpose. He wants to resurrect the purpose in your life. So many of us, so many times I hear, Chad, I'm just trying to figure out my purpose. I'm trying to figure out what God desires. I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. You're supposed to serve the Lord. You're supposed to love him. You're supposed to be a son and daughter of the King. Now hear me. I'm using the word serve, and I want you to understand what I mean. I don't mean servant. Too long you've been raised in a church believing you're supposed to be a servant of God. Because we use the terminology we're supposed to serve God, which is true, but you serve him from a relationship of son and daughter. I don't serve God out of fear. I serve him out of desire. I serve him out of purpose and passion. Because in the last year, I've come into an understanding of what it means to be a son of God. In the last year, yeah, in the last year. Up to that point, I was a servant. And I can tell you, there is a freedom, there is a joy that comes when you switch. And his desire this morning is to resurrect this purpose in you to be a son and daughter of him. Because he wants to walk with you. He wants to enjoy life with you. He wants to see you laugh. He wants to see you smile. He wants to give you gifts that shock you, that almost bring tears to your eyes. Why? Because he's a loving father. He's a loving father. He wants to resurrect the purpose in your life. Jesus connects with his disciples the way he did when he first met them. Fishing. They're out fishing, and like many fishermen, they didn't catch anything. Especially if you go fishing when you should be in church, you won't catch a fish till afternoon. We have a few guys in our church that go on fishing trips. Every time they're gone on a Sunday, I tell them, I'm praying you don't catch a fish until 12:30. And then if I'm sitting in the front row and they catch a fish before 12:30, they send me a picture of the fish. But they don't catch anything. And so Jesus comes along and he's on the shore and he says to them, throw your net on the other side. These guys are professional fishermen. How insulting. And so they throw their nets on the other side. I think they've gotten a little bit wiser. They throw it on the other side. And they can't pull all the fish in. For all the fishermen, if you're struggling fishing on a Sunday morning, maybe you should pray. God, which side of the boat should I cast this line off of? And then the moment they realize this is Jesus. So Peter jumps out of the boat and runs for shore. At this moment, he's running in the water, not on top of it. But he heads for shore because it's his Savior, it's his King, it's his Lord. And they get there, and then the rest of them all get to shore. And Jesus has breakfast ready for them. And after breakfast, something very interesting happens. They go for a walk. Here's all the disciples going for a walk, but Peter is walking with Jesus on this walk. And it says this in John 21:15-17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told them. And then Jesus repeats the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep." And a third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." Many people believe that Jesus asked him three times because Peter denied him three times. It's allowing Peter, even out of frustration, to respond, "Yes, I love you," three times, to clarify, to correct the times where he denied even knowing him. And Peter right here is reinstated into what God has called him to do. We see that it's Peter who shares the first message and thousands are saved. What about you this morning? Does Jesus need to ask you, "Do you love me?" Do you love me? Do you love me? Because see, like Peter, many of us have denied Christ. Now, some of you immediately might say, "Well, no, Chad, I haven't denied Christ. I know in the Stations of the Cross, Station 4, where you have to write on the whiteboard, 'I denied Jesus.' And you have to write it three times. It's one of the hard things for me to do. I know there's some people that are actually like, "Oh, I'm not writing it. I haven't denied him." Revelations 21, verse 8. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." Do you know there's a lot on this list that I am not? There's a lot on here that I'm like, "Yeah, no, that's not me." Do you know there's times where I'm unbelieving? I know what this word says. And there's times where it's just hard. And I pray, "God, I believe, but help me with my unbelief." Do you want to know where I deny Christ? the cowardly. The cowardly. When I know God is asking me to share Him with other people, when I know He's asking me to pray with other people, and true honestly, I just chicken out. There's no other purpose. There's no other reason. I can't give you a good excuse. I just cowered. I don't know about you, but when I go through the station of the cross, there's moments depending on the stations. It doesn't happen at every station. I don't want to sound super spiritual. But this year was different than other years. Last year when we did it, the first station that stood out to me, I'll be honest, the only station that stood out to me, I don't want to sound super spiritual. Don't judge me because only one did either. Last year, the washing of hands. The moment water hit my hands, all that went through my mind was, your hands aren't clean. It's like, well, that was a little heavy, God. This year, as I wrote on the board, this verse came to mind. I was like, oh, man. I actually thought I was getting better. That verse doesn't say prideful. It probably should. The next one this year was nailing the nail into the cross. As I did that this year, it reminded me that I put the nails in Him. Now understand, He laid His life down so that all of my sins could be forgiven. So when I read and I see Jesus interacting with Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I know that Jesus has asked me these questions. And by being able to say, yes. Yes, I love you. Yes, Lord Jesus, I love you. And knowing in those moments that He lifts me up, brushes me off because I've fallen. And He doesn't just pick me up and push me down the road. He walks with me the whole time. There's been so many times in my life where He's resurrected the joy, where He's resurrected the faith, and He's resurrected my purpose so many times. And this morning, I truly believe that none of you have disqualified yourself. You may hear that, but that is the enemy. I believe just like Peter, God wants to resurrect you this morning. This morning, God wants to resurrect your joy. He wants to resurrect your faith that you believe again. And I believe He wants to resurrect your purpose. He wants to work in you, and He wants to work through you. Will you let Him resurrect you this morning? Father, I pray for a sweet connection with You. That the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of joy, will just begin to bear out of them. That, Lord, it begins just to come out of them because of a connection with You. Jesus, You tell us in John 15 that if we connect to You, we will bear fruit. And so that connection bears the fruit. And Father, there's so many people across this room that just raise their hand. Father, they love You. They believe in You. But Lord, there's areas in their life where, Lord, things went a different direction, just as Thomas. just as Thomas, I know this is how it's going to work out. This is what I believe is going to happen. And then, Lord, it just went left on them. But Father, you never left them. If you raise your hand for belief, I just want you to open up your hands. But what you're doing is you're not opening to receive. You're actually opening to give and let go. And so, Father, I pray for the open hands that, Father, are releasing these moments to you. Lord, there's pain. There's hurt. There's confusion. For some, Lord, it might even deep down, right down to bitterness. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that over their hearts right now, in their spirits, there is a peace that passes all understanding. There's a supernatural calming of waves. That all of a sudden, Father, their feet feel a little more solid. Lord, our situations aren't changing, but I pray our hearts and our minds and our eyes, the way we see, the way we think, the way we feel about you is healing in Jesus' name. And that you resurrect the belief that, Father, they know is already in them. And Father, it just needs to be resurrected. I pray for supernatural healing in Jesus' name. So I talked about purpose and God wanting to resurrect the purpose that he's placed in your heart. I believe there's many of you in this room, whether it was 2 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, God put a purpose in your heart. And you actually wonder if you missed it. But I want you to know that God wants to resurrect that purpose in your life today. Man, Caleb, he entered into the promised land around the age of 80 years old. He said, I have more energy today than I did when I was 40. Paraphrasing. But why not? I can promise you today that if I can stand up here and share what Jesus has put on my heart and he can speak through me with my past, with what I deal with, what my brain thinks, what my flesh does, all of it, God can use you. He has a purpose for you. You've not disqualified yourself. You haven't done something to lose it. It doesn't matter what other men or other people have spoken over you or said disqualifying you. You are qualified because Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. So this morning, if you know God has put a purpose in your heart and it just needs to be resurrected, you just need a fresh breath of Holy Spirit to fan that into flame. I just want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you this morning. And so if that's you, will you just raise your hand? So here's what I'm noticing, and I'm actually going to call it out a little bit this morning. I see many hands, but a few hands. So that means each and every one of you that is standing here is walking and living in your purpose, fully satisfied, fully empowered, doing everything that God has called you to do. Is that what you're saying to me? And if it is, praise God. But if it's not, don't walk out here the same. So if you need God to resurrect a purpose in you, because I'm telling you, when you walk in your purpose, when you walk in sonship, your walk with Jesus Christ is fun and exciting. So what I'm asking you is if you feel like your life with Jesus is a little boring, and you need a stirring of the purpose, just raise your hand. If that's you, let's raise our hands. It's not about the amount of hands, just to be clear. It's about seeing you walk out of here with purpose, with a fresh wind under you, that you don't walk out of here the same you walked in. And so, Father God, I thank you for the purpose that you've put in our lives. I thank you, Father God, for the hands that are raised that are just saying, God, I know you put purpose in my life, but I honestly believe there's more. And so, Holy Spirit, my hand is up because I'm giving you permission to breathe life into me, that I walk out of here empowered and equipped in the name of Jesus Christ, that I don't leave here the way I walked in, and that, Jesus, you can use me. You can speak through me. I give you permission to empower me. Lord, as we talked about going into this city and changing this city, use me. Use me. Use me. Speak through me. Equip me. So, Holy Spirit, I just breathe you into this room, that you will touch lives, you will change hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will be filled and equipped with you. That, Father, we walk out of this place this morning with resurrected joy, resurrected faith, and resurrected purpose in Jesus' name. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your presence. Thank you for how you've resurrected people's lives. And Lord, I just release you to change our hearts, to change our lives. Let us be your salt and light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The front is open. God bless you.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.